She is ESPN investigative reporter and author of a book called Violated, Exposing Rape at Baylor University Amid College Football Sexual Assault Crisis, which is available at violatedbook.com. The main voice and a fantastic article on ESPN's Outside the Lines that you can read on ESPN.com, obviously. Happy to welcome in Paula Levine this morning. How are you, Paula?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Yeah, we appreciate the time this morning. And, man, this thing with Michigan State, I read your article, and it's I don't even know where to start. I don't know the first question to ask you, how to get the ball rolling on this, because after Baylor, I think a lot of us thought, okay, surely that's as bad as it can get. And Michigan State is, it's football, it's basketball, it's gymnastics, it's the entire university here.
Right. I mean, one thing, if you look at both universities and you look at other universities where this has happened, is that this always this speaks to a systemic problem. I mean, for people to think that with as egregious as things were with Nassar, and when you looked at the involvement of the administration and the fact that these victims are saying they were silenced, the university wasn't reporting it, it's sort of naive to think that that was just isolated to that one case. I mean, when you have people at the very top being accused of and being proven of, in some cases, of having issues with transparency, you have to figure that it extends to other parts of the program.
So at what point did you join the investigation? Were you originally digging into the Nassar issue and then it turned into this and you kept digging and digging and it kept getting worse and worse? Did it stem from something else? How did you get into this?
Actually, we started pursuing this back in 2014. We did a story looking at 10 universities and how the criminal justice system treated student athletes. And one of those schools was Michigan State. And so what we did for all of these schools was we requested police reports involving student athletes from the city police and from the campus police. East Lansing police gave us everything we asked for, hardly redacted anything. We had our records in like a month or so. It was great. Michigan State delayed for months. They charged us thousands of dollars. And when we got the records, all of the names were redacted. Like even cases that had been adjudicated, the students' names were taken out. So we sued them. We won. They appealed. We won again. They appealed again. We went all the way up to the Michigan State Supreme Court, and we won. The court ordered them to hand over the records with the names, pay our attorney's fees, and even after that, we had issues. In fact, earlier this year, related to a different records request, Michigan State sued us in attempting to continue to withhold the records. It was unprecedented. They lost that case as well. I mean, the number of steps that the school has taken to try to prevent us to get this information has been amazing. And so if you have to factor how long it takes to get through a legal case, and then when we were finally getting all of our records together on the criminal thing with the student athletes, is sort of when the Nassar stuff started breaking. And so then we sort of got these parallel things going. And as I just said before, you know, stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. And people, and then with the Nassar attention, more people willing to talk to us about other things. And that's sort of how these two things came together.
I'm curious, through the course of everything you've done with the book on Baylor and diving into Michigan State, it's obvious from what you just explained to us, they knew that they were doing things that were very wrong because they didn't want it to come out. They did everything in their power to do that. The only question that keeps coming up, why? Why do these schools try and cover up everything that's happening and continually shame the victims?
You know, it's an incredibly good question. I was having a conversation with someone in the East Lansing community the other day who had had, troubles with the university and transparency. And this person said to me, she said, either they're getting really bad advice or something's up. And I think a lot of this, I mean, not think, but a lot of this is coming from their attorneys. You can see the correspondence. You can see that they're the ones sort of ultimately at times in charge of deciding what to release, what not to release. But you've got to think that somewhere in there, someone has to be thinking, we just need to do the right thing. I mean, too often. I think they're just sort of mired in, well, policy and procedure and worried about their legal liability. And people aren't just using common sense and being like, we need to treat these students, both sides on these issues, with respect and dignity and fairness, and we need to do the right thing. And I think there's not enough common sense, I think, sometimes being used in these in the way they handle these cases.
Talking to Paula Levine, co-author of the Outside the Line report on the Michigan State severe problem going on there with sexual assault. Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio have both said that they will not resign from their positions, even though there's some pretty damning stuff in your article concerning their awareness, their possible awareness of what's been going on. And it's not fair, certainly, that this gets a bigger national spotlight because now you're bringing college football and college basketball into it. But that's just how the world works at this point. Do you think that they're going to survive with their jobs through all of this?
I think it's too early to tell. I think what we need now are some answers. I mean, one thing that we've made very clear is that we've had information that they were aware of some of these cases. But what we don't know is exactly what happened, which ones they were aware of, and if they weren't aware of them, then that's a problem too, because they should have been made aware of them. So I think it goes back to there's been a real demand for transparency from the university, and I think right now they need to start answering some questions, and we need to know what steps were taken, who took them, and you know, if something needs to be done to remedy something that they failed to do earlier.
It's interesting in reading this story and the whole thing with Nassar and everything, and the idea, and I forget the young lady's name, and maybe it wasn't released, that first started to come forward with the accusations against him, and then they went and researched it, and even female doctors said, no, they believed his side. And I just don't understand the divide here when anybody, I mean, if I went to a doctor right now and came home and said, man, you know, that exam was really weird. I don't understand why nobody believed these young women being uncomfortable in the presence of a doctor and just continually pushed them in front of this guy.
I think this is something that you see with people in power and people who are highly respected, and it's just a protection. I mean, the people who were responsible for disciplining him were people who already admired him, or his colleagues. They were were people who had some sort of, you know, longer relationship with him. I mean, it's not uncommon to see that protect. You see that with the coaches too. I mean, your contemporaries are going to believe you first before they believe somebody else. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it is.
So the news broke yesterday that Adrian Payne, who was named in the article as being involved in one of these altercations, he was released by the Orlando Magic organization yesterday. Do you personally get any satisfaction whenever you read something like that that affects somebody else's life negatively based on your investigation?
I think when I hear about that, and I also heard Travis Walton was suspended or put on some sort of leave from his position with the NBA G League team as well. It's sadness. It really is. I'm not kidding with that. I really feel sadness, because it's just so unfortunate that there were so many things that could have been done, even on the prevention side of things, even at the very beginning, you know, teaching these, you know, young men what to do, what not to do. It's just sad that it has all come to this.
Where does it go from here, I guess, is my next question. In your research and the things that you've done, whether it was with the Baylor situation, now with the Michigan State situation, you talk about, you know, they can go back and maybe put steps in place to prevent this. What exactly do you feel can be done so that situations like this, if they're out there, stop and don't happen again?
You know, kind of goes back to something you said at the onset. Like at this point, after you have a Florida State, or you have a Baylor or Penn State, you would think at some point, like, other universities would be put on notice, that there'd be this sort of national awakening. Like, holy crap, I don't want this to happen here. I kind of hope that would have happened already, but If schools out there haven't gotten the notice, I think they definitely need to, and they need to look back at what I think a lot of what needs to happen in terms of it, we need to look at things going forward. But I also think schools need to look at cases they've handled in the past and see if there's a need to do some reckoning or to go back and talk to some of the young women or young men who reported these assaults and said, look, you know, did we fail you in the past? You know, is there something we can do now? You know, do you want to help us in crafting policies, procedures, steps, you know, things moving forward? I think we need to do some more reaching out to some of those people who years ago may have been forgotten.
Baylor about an hour away from us here in DFW, so clearly we were all over that story and that was just a huge issue and a huge topic going on for a long time here. You have your fingerprints all over both of these cases. You probably know way more information than you would even care to know that you probably wish you didn't have to know. Is the situation in Michigan State worse than what was happening at Baylor?
Here's what I'll say about the two, and I think this is an important point. You know, and your listeners will appreciate this. When Baylor brought in the law firm Pepper Hamilton to do its big review of how the school was handling sexual assault, Pepper Hamilton produced this 13-page report that I think the word failure was in there like a few dozen times. I mean, it eviscerated the school and every layer of administration, football. Now, there are people who criticize that report, but be that as it may, Baylor's a private school. They had no obligation to release that report. I mean, legally, right? They had no obligation under any sort of open records law to release that report at the time. But they did. Michigan State is a public university, taxpayer-funded, subject to open records law. They hired Pepper Hamilton and one of the very same attorneys who worked for Baylor to come in and review their handling of sexual assault cases in 2014 and 2015, which is the exact same time they were investigating Larry Nassar. To this day, Michigan State has refused to release any details of that report.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
It's mind-boggling that things like this continue to happen. And my fear is that there's another university out there that another scandal at some point is going to break. Because at what point do you get into this country where, like you were talking about, oh, he's my respected colleague, we'll just believe him instead of this multitude of women who have the same story about, at the very least, being uncomfortable around
him. Or that
him.
The coaches will handle it because the coaches are father figures to these players and they'll handle it the right way instead of the authorities. It just doesn't seem to make any sense.
Right.
Well, Paula, we appreciate the time. Thanks for your work and continue to do this and shed light on the darkest corners because it needs to happen and we appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you gentlemen having me on.
All right, there she is. That's Paula Levine, ESPN investigative reporter and author of Violated, Exposing Rape at Baylor University Amid College Football Sexual Assault Crisis. And again, that book is available at violatedbook.com.